We'll see how I do on this voice of mine, but we may get out of here earlier than we think, huh? Sorry, I didn't. I followed in my heart in singing, but I did not sing because I didn't want to blow my voice out. But this is the season for colds and head colds and all that, and it got me pretty good here the last couple of weeks. But it is good to be. It's always good to be in the house, no matter how you are, however you feel. It's always good to be there. Lately, we've been kind of on a topic of sin, and apparently, this is where the Lord's led me again today. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter 7 today, and many of you might know right off the bat where we're going. But I want to talk to you today as you turn to Joshua chapter 7. I want to talk to you about what we call hidden sin. We've all are sinners. We know that. We're sinners saved by grace. When we come to Jesus for salvation, we come to Him, and we lay ourselves and all of our sin become before Him. And when we become saved, He forgives us from all those sins and creates in us a new person. And that is a great, awesome peace that God gives to us. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to sin in this world. After we get saved, we are going to sin. But now we know what we're supposed to do when we sin. We're supposed to go and follow Christ. And we're supposed to follow what 1 John says. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and all of my unrighteousness, and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. And so when we do that, Jesus is going to forgive us of our sins. But there comes times in our life when we do sin, and we get to this place that we're going to read today is kind of like what we call hidden sin. Sin is something that we do against God. It's either something we do against God that we're not supposed to do, or something we're supposed to do that we don't do it, or something that we do that we're not supposed to do. Somewhere it puts a point there that we've done something against God. Hidden sin is that thing we make even darker than it was supposed to be. It's not that we took care of the sin, but now we're hiding the sin. We're building a hole in the ground. Moses did that when he killed the Egyptian. He buried this man and thought he could hide it and hide that, and he could not. Today we're going to talk about a time when God called Joshua to go into Ai in there, and then the piece was we need to listen to God. We need to be obedient. And he told Joshua and the people, when you go in, don't take any of those things don't take any of the silver, the gold, or any of those artifacts there, anything that's any of God's idols or anything. You just go in there and you take it over. And so they send out a few spies. Well, they end up going in there and they mess it up. They just come back from this whole Jericho thing and it was a great victory. You ever have great victory in your life? Then you mess something up afterwards. A couple spies went out and kind of checked out Ai and said, "Hey, Mr. Joshua, I think we can do this with a lot less men. We don't need to worry about everybody. And we don't need to worry about everybody." So sends about 3,000 soldiers in and kind of messes it up. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 7. We're going to pick it up here in verse 21 or verse 19. Now I'm going to fill in some blanks as we go. So if it sounds kind of like it's all over the place, I think you'll get it. Joshua chapter 7 verse 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered, Joshua said, and Joshua said, indeed, Achan said, "I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. And when I saw among the spoils of the beautiful Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them, and they are hidden in the earth and in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and they laid them out before the Lord. Basically, he was in front of everybody. And then Joshua and all the Israelites and all the Israel with him took Achan and his son and the son of Zerah, Achan the son of Zerah, the silver and the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Sounds like a hard, harsh peace. What's happened is, the backstory is this, that God told him to go in and into Jericho, not take anything, and somebody did. And they go into Ai, and they end up getting defeated, and they should not have gotten defeated. And there were some things that happened here that was not very good. You see, the sin that Achan did what he was not supposed to do. God said, do not go in and take any of those things, any of the things that belong to those people. Silver, gold, God says, belongs to me. The rest of it, you leave it there. Now, we're going to see later on that God tells him to go back into Ai. When he goes into Ai, this time he tells him to turn around and they can take things. Okay? The key is, it isn't that God's changing, but God is challenging us and telling us that we need to be faithful and obedient. So if God says to do this, we do it. If God says don't do it, we don't do it. But what's happened is Achan went to his tent and he took some things and he buried them and he thought nobody was going to see. But I want to share with you today that our sins affect more than just ourselves. That our sins, when we hide sin, it comes out in a not very good, comes out because when sin needs to be dealt with and we don't want to deal with it, we're kind of hiding it. I want to tell you that what's happened is what happens in this story is that they go into Ai and they come in, they send 3,000 men in to take this, and Joshua thinks this is going to be an easy victory. And it should have been an easy victory. God said, you're going to get it. God says, I'm going to be with you, you just follow me. Well, Joshua didn't know that somebody had done something yet. And basically what has happened is that they went in with 3,000 people, and the sin that Achan had done, the sin that he has done, it affected other people. 36 people died because of Achan's sin. 36 people died because of Achan's sin. So they died, which means they turned around, and that was pretty much 30. If they were all individuals, that was 36 funerals that affected 36 families. Okay? It also came to the point that they were also, not only did it affect other families and things of that sort, but also affected everyone that was there. They were defeated in battle. They weren't supposed to be defeated in battle. Now they were defeated in battle. And so that's not looking too good for them. So it affected just everybody in one sense by losing. It affected several families, but also affected his own family, him personally. And him personally, it cost him his wife. It cost him his children, all the other possessions that he had. Whatever was alive was stoned, and everything else, and it was all burned. And so this whole thing is, it's all just a big, nasty disaster because somebody chose to take something they shouldn't have done, and he decides he's going to hide it. Okay? Now, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper. We're going to kind of cut a couple of things in here for a moment. There comes a moment in verse 20, and as we're going to read in verse 20, he says, "And Achan answered Joshua, and he said, indeed, I have sinned." So we think that that's going to fix it. "I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done." So he says, "I have sinned." So the first part there is that he does confess that he has sinned. He makes admission of his sinful peace, of his sinful act. I want to tell you, we need to be thankful right now that we have the grace of God with us. Because this story gets ugly. You see, what they had to do is they had to line up every clan and every family out in front of everybody, and they got to find out what's going on. God told Joshua, line them up, and we're going to start walking down, and we're going to start talking, and then we're going to start interviewing every family. Every family, and when they stopped in front of Achan, Joshua knew right there. "I beg you to give glory to the Lord of Israel. Make confession to him. Do it right now." And he does. And Achan says, "I have sinned." You see, today we have Jesus Christ that we can go to and we can ask for forgiveness. Thank God we have that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicts our heart. But even with that, we still fight God with our sin. We still fight the Lord. We still push against the Holy Spirit. You see, today we are in dire. So I believe today that we, and maybe you might agree, maybe you disagree, but I think our generation today is in dire need of a heart surgery because we have calloused our hearts against God, and we believe our sin is not so bad. We've self-justified the things that we do, and we think my sin is okay, but yours is wrong before God, but I'm okay. Listen, I'm not impressed by your opinion of God's word. I'm impressed by God's word, but not by your opinion. And I'm going to say it again. There are sins that the Bible tells us that we are not supposed to do, and there's tons of them. And we've all committed something there. As he moves in verse 21, he says this. He says, when I saw him, I just couldn't hold myself. He said, I couldn't hold myself. I loved what I saw. And he confesses I believe it's the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments. I coveted. He even says it. I coveted. I coveted. Now, we would think, you know, after he says that, man, I couldn't hold myself. I couldn't hold myself. I saw how beautiful they were. I wanted them, so I took them, and I took them in my tent, and I hid them in my tent. I put it in my tent. It's mine. So he covets. Do you think that was eating him up after he buried it? Do you think that if it's a man of God, you think that was eating him up? Hidden sin will eat you up. It's a torment. It's a torment that begins. It starts in your soul. It's just there. And I want to tell you, hidden sin is always present. It's always present in your heart. It's always present in your mind. It's haunting you. It's always going to haunt you. And it's a shameful thing, you know. And it brings regret. It brings guilt. It brings embarrassment and resentment and all those things. But we hold on to it because we're afraid to deal with it. And when we deal with it, sometimes it's a little bit late. But there's a shameful thing there that haunts you like a ghost. It just haunts you. It does never leaves you. But I want to tell you, as a man of God, that's the Holy Spirit moving on you, telling you that you're wrong. You need to deal with it. Because when you commit the sin, it's yours. We'll talk about that in a moment. So this whole thing about I coveted, so he doesn't just admit that he sinned, he actually names it. We need to do that. We need to name our sin. Now I want to tell you, this got ugly. It shouldn't have got ugly, but it did. Verse 23 tells this, that it was laid out before all the people and before the Lord. It was all laid out. Everything that took place in the midst was laid out. Everybody knows Achan's junk now. Everybody knows his sin. Did you know that many times there's been a few pastors, and actually we've had a very big leader in our Baptist convention who've had, these men have had sexual misconduct. You know, they have had some kind of sexual fallout, and you know, something that was in the sins of the sexual piece. And in the past, I've heard some here in our state that have had some embezzlement with money and things of that sort. And it's almost like God gives them a moment to get it all worked out, but they hold it in. And the longer you hold it in, there's going to be a time when God says, "It's done." And when God lets it out, guess what? Everybody knows. Everybody usually finds out. Okay? Everybody usually finds out. And so we see this piece with Achan. Everything is laid out. Nobody wants their dirty laundry out in front of everybody, but sometimes it works out that way because when we hide it, it's going to get uncovered. We know that there's some scriptures that says your sin will find you out. You know, I'm talking about in Numbers. And it does talk about sin, but there's a particular sin that it's talking about. It's talking about the two tribes that didn't want to go into the promised land. They said, Moses, we don't want to go to the promised land. Or Joshua, Moses, we don't want to go to the promised land. We don't want to go over there. Why don't we just stay over here? And what we'll do is we'll go fight with you. And then when we go fight with you, what it'll be is, then when we're all done, then we'll come back here. And then it was said, now listen, you're kind of standing on some middle ground here. And so basically, we kind of self-justify some things. And with those two, Moses allowed that to happen. But he said, listen, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, your sin will find you out. And so we see that whole piece there, but it also does help us understand, knowing that our sin will find us out. So as we come to this place with Incan's life, it is a mess. And nobody wants their junk out. Now, it's all out now. And when it's all out, you know, I'm telling you, the lynch mob is coming. Okay? Now, does that self-justify when I say, like, the lynch mob? Now, there's a lynch mob. It's not right. It's not, you know, it wasn't set through the piece. There's always going to be those people. What I'm getting at is there are always going to be those people that are going to point a finger at you because of the sins that you committed. There's always going to be those people today that are going to be the ones with mercy, those ones that's got that gift of mercy. And so we need those in the church as well, right? We need the people that have the gift of mercy and love and forgiveness and those things. But here, God's going to use this man as an example of what not to do and the heaviness of what the cost of sin is. And so he begins to move into this piece, and they bring it all out before them and everyone. And they stone them. Now I would imagine that he does have a wife, and he has children, and I don't know how old this man is, but he has a wife, and he has a children, he has all those things, all the people that are in him, that is a part of his clan, is all dragged out into the front of everybody, and take him to this area, and they stone him. Listen, I'm going to tell you, did the wife know really what was going on? We don't know about that through Scripture, we don't know. We don't know if the kids knew or anything about that, but I want to tell you, men, you're the sins that's committed in you. We are responsible, we are the spiritual leaders of our home. We are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our home. Women are supposed to listen and abide to the spiritual leaderness of the family. And what we see here is a man who fails in this area. And when he fails in this area, the whole family pays for it. The whole family pays for it. I want to tell you, if you don't deal with your sins the right way, I want to tell you, your sins will tell on you. Your sins will tell on you. They will come out. They will tell on you. You also, when you don't take care of your sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, is where He's working and speaking and working through you, doing that stuff, and you're grieving Him because it's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to deal with your sin. Okay? And if you don't deal with it, it can be revealed by other people. And we have to be very, very cautious when we try to reveal other people's sins. But that still is even a word of caution. People are going to throw it up because some people want to pull people into that. Some people love gossip. Some people love the drama of life. And so what happens is some people are just going to bring it up, and it's going to get up, and it's going to get, it always ends up worse than what it should have been. But some people will reveal it, but it'll be revealed by others. And I always want to say this, your sins are yours until you get rid of them, and the only way you can get rid of them is to give them to Jesus Christ and ask for that forgiveness. And there are times when you need to go and talk to someone else as well, but they're your sins until you deal with them. Deal with them the way God's Word tells you to, that we are to confess them and we are to repent, which means to turn away from them. And we need to get it right because the sins are going to deal with you, and it deals with you in a way that we don't always like it. Because it's no fun having that pain in our life. It's no fun having that weight of the sin in our life. And the way we deal with sin is we have to do this one thing. We have to do it right. We have to get honest. We don't talk about it, but we have to be honest about our sin. We have to be honest to ourselves. We have to be honest to God. We have to be honest about what is going on in our life. We have to be honest. We have to speak honesty in our conversation with God. That roll through that I talk about, that drive through confession, driving through and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins today, and you drive on, thank you Jesus, now be with me through the rest of the day. And then we give Him our want list and we drive on down the road and we wonder why our life is feeling miserable. If you have hidden sin in your life, you're not at your best, I guarantee you. You're not at your best of being a Christian. You're not where God wants you to be. And you're not going to be very effective for the kingdom work either. Because you're a wounded soldier. You're wounded for the Lord. And you need to take care of the sins that you commit. Now, as spiritual leaders of our home, we need as men, as our home, we need to pray for our family members. And I believe I always go back to the book of Job, and Job was always interceding for his children, even when they were outside of his home, just in case they sinned against the Lord. He was always doing sacrifices and praying, just in case they were doing things. And because in our homes, we are responsible for our home. When God came through the Garden of Eden, he didn't call out Eve, he called out Adam. Did you hear me? The Bible says he called out Adam. Adam, where are you? Eve was hiding. We love to hide behind people when we sin. We love to hide behind things when we sin. Achan was trying to hide his as well into the dirt. Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden behind the fig leaves. Moses was hiding. He hid his in the dirt too. David tried to hide his with his authority as being a king, sending out the man to the battlefield, trying to hide all his sin as well. And you know, the truth is that once you sin, once you have a hidden sin, it's very easy to keep on doing things and keep trying to hide it, and that closet gets very, very full. And you know you can't hide anything from God. I hope you know that. There's nothing that's hidden from God's eyes. Nothing. Not even your heart. Not even your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows your heart. He knows where your spirit is. He knows what your soul is. Why? Because he created you. And he knows everything about you. He knows your weaknesses and he knows your strengths. He knows the spiritual gifts he put into you. He knows the day you were born. He knows the day and time you're going to die. He knows all that you're about. Thank God he's the only one. Amen? He is very good about what he does. But we rebel against mighty God. We rebel against our Father. And we hide from our Father like children hide from their parents. When little children mess up and they disobey, they run and hide under the blankets in the bedroom, or they hide under the bed, or they hide in the closet, or they run out into the field and hide behind the barn or the garage because they don't want to be caught, or they don't want to come in until they want to hide when dad comes to the door, because they know that they've done something wrong. We know that we've done something wrong, and we must be honest about it. Honesty helps a whole lot. But I will tell you, there are consequences to the sins that we commit. There are consequences to the sin. For this man, Achan, his whole family was put to death. It was a warning to people, God's people, that there's consequences and a cost for sin and disobedience. And we can think that this is very hard and very strict, and it is very hard and very strict. But also should let us know that we should be appreciative and thankful for God's grace and Jesus Christ. And because we sin, we're not pulled out into the middle of the road, because some of us here have been known to be adulterous. And we're not out there on the street being stoned. Some of us have stolen something and we still have all of our hands and all of our digits. Back in the day, they put your hand out there and they just cut it off. Very, very hard back then. Even still some places today, but it's very hard back then. But thank God for his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. But not only do we have to be honest about our peace, we see this with Achan. He gets honest about it and he said, yes, I've sinned. He gets honest about it. But I don't see a place where he ask for the forgiveness. We don't see it here. I would hope that he did, but there's a forgiveness that we need to move into. Once we reveal that ugly, nasty mess that we have been hidden, that sin that we hide, that we need to be honest, we need to ask the Lord to ask Jesus to forgive us. We need to be honest, we need to name it. As he even says, I have coveted, and I took those things, and he did it. And so when he did that, he confessed that part. But we also need to know this, that we need to be honest, but not only just honest, we need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness for what we've done. And I want to tell you, when you're honest with God and you're asking for forgiveness, you're not going to do it in 10 seconds. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's not going to let you get away with that for a 10-second confession piece with God, asking Jesus to forgive. There's going to be some heart-wrenching. There's going to be some pieces that are going to be pulled out. There's going to be a little bit of that conversation with the Holy Spirit. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about today? Because it's going to take a little bit more than 10 seconds. This isn't going to the kitchen and taking a wash rag and turn around and just put soap on and wash your hands and you're done. This is something where you're going to have to, you got to confess, or you got, now you're confessing your junk, this hidden sin that you've been hiding. It's a lot of weight. It's wore you down. You got the ramifications of it. It ends up being your tormented heart. It needs healed. This haunting needs to be taken care of. It's ever present. It's there before you. You need to get rid of it. And then, and just as much as you've confessed it now and you want to give it to Jesus, sometimes Jesus says he'll pick it up, right? He says if you cast all your anxiety before him, he'll take care. He cares for you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But I'm telling you, it doesn't give us a time. It doesn't give us a time moment. God's going to look at it. He's going to look at you. He'll talk about it. And when he knows you've done it right and you confess it right, then he's going to pick it up. We think he picks it up every time we just ask. It just can't be from what your mouth says. It's got to be from what your heart is saying. And when your heart and your mouth come together and it agrees that you have committed a sin, then after that you ask Jesus to forgive you, then he'll pick it up when you do it his way, not our way. And when we do that, he says this, like he told the woman at the well, he told the adulterous woman, listen, he tells them, go away, your sins are forgiven. But he says, repent. It means when you walk away, Jesus, this is what Jesus is saying. Don't come back with me with this same junk. Did you hear what I said? I understand this. Forgive me 70 times 7. I do. I understand that. But he doesn't want you to keep coming with the same junk back and forth, because if it is, then when he says it, you could just tell through Scripture. He said, we got work to do. And he's going to work on you. In the meantime, we got this list and we keep saying, Lord Jesus, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. And we wonder why life is rough. We got to do it his way. So we have to come to this place where we get honest. It all starts with honesty. It all starts with honesty. And then it moves to forgiveness, and then it moves to repenting. And when we do what we're supposed to do, the Lord will do what he's going to do. He will do what he promised to do. He will forgive you. He will cast as far as the east is from the west. And he says he'll remember it no more. Praise God for that. If we do it the right way. But I will remind you that there are still consequences from sometimes for those sins that we commit. For David, it was his child that was going to be born, was going to die. And there were some other things in there as well. There were some other things like, yeah. For Rankin, it was death. You see, we don't like the consequences of our sin. Young woman has a baby outside of wedlock. Young man comes to daddy. They both get their hearts right with Jesus. They can go to Jesus, get their hearts right, and they pledge, and they're going to, it doesn't make the baby go away. Somebody has sex outside of marriage and commits what the Bible says, fornication, and they ask, Lord, forgive me of those sins, and there may be, and they do it right. Everything is right. The heart's right. The mind's right. The words, whatever it was, and God forgives. It doesn't mean that they don't have a sexual disease. How many people you think have a sexual disease and have asked for forgiveness of their sin and realize later that they got a sexual transmitted disease through it? doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to the sins that we commit. There are consequences. There are consequences. But once it's all cleaned up, God is good. Amen? But even through that, God is good. Because we could be like Achan and we could be destroyed. I don't think we quite understand that. I want to tell you. I don't think we quite understand truly the grace of God. That's the one topic that I still struggle with because I can't grasp all of God's grace. It's just too amazing to me. It's too amazing for me to truly understand it. Because I've done some things that probably, and through Scripture, if I went through Deuteronomy and I went through Leviticus and a few things in Numbers, I'm going to tell you this, I probably shouldn't even be here. And I bet some of you, if we were going by the law, would not be here. I should not be here today. I'm telling you, God's grace is amazing. Because we're all, I don't even like to say it, but we're all as filthy rags. I won't tell you what it means. I'm not going to describe it up here, but the Bible says we're all like filthy rags. I'm not trying to bring us down today, but I'm trying to bring up Jesus today, how awesome He is. But we commit sin. Listen, some of us have said things about other people. My goodness, aren't we glad they didn't hear it? So the sin was taken care of. It was all taken care of now. In chapter 8, it says this. I'm going to close with this. And now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid." I'll tell you, when God's hand comes down, I'm telling you, you get a little fearful. Like, I just don't think we're going to be able to take any more lands because of all these thousands of people. Maybe we got about 1 million people or so. I think somebody else is about to mess up. Wouldn't you think? We got this many people. Somebody's going to mess up. And I don't think we're going to get this done because we just can't be perfect. But God says this. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people at war with you and arise and go to Ai. See, I have given into you, your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city." And God gives them instructions on how to do it. And that's exactly what God does with us. Once we get it right, He doesn't walk away and says, "I'm done with you now for a long time." No, what God does is He sticks around and gives you something of encouragement to get back up on your feet. Don't fear. Take courage. You learn something. Isn't that what we do when our children disobey us? And we have a moment of discipline and they finally get it right. Don't we show a little bit of love after maybe? Maybe a little bit. Some of us maybe a lot, moms. Dads maybe just a little bit. God does it the best way. He knows what to say. And He says, "Don't be afraid." Because it would be easy to be afraid of God after that. He says, "Get up." Because here's one thing God did not do. He did not lose His, God did not lose and take His eye off of the vision that He had for His people. "I brought you to this promised land. I brought you here for a purpose." There was some scripture before, if you go back and read it, Joshua says, "I don't understand why we lost this battle in Ai. We should have just stayed on the other side of the, promised land." Kind of sounds a little bit like Moses' people a little bit, right? He didn't understand. Joshua didn't know there was sin in the camp. And when there's sin in our family, I'm telling you, if things are going to disarray and things are all screwed up in your family, you don't know why sometimes, you need to take a look. There may be some hidden sin in your family. It may not be you, but it might be somebody else, and you're going to have to deal with that. But God also says this, "Do not be afraid, be dismayed. I'm going to be here." And this time He changes it up and He says, "Listen, the spoils are for you. You learned a lesson. Obey what I tell you to do. This time when you go in, it's all yours. Take it. Take the cattle. Take the stuff." Whew. All again. Again, God shows His mercy and His loving kindness and His grace. And it's a good thing. When we deal with hidden sin, folks, we deal with it the way God says. come to him. As Jesus says, come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. And you do that by having to lay your sins down before the Lord. Confess them before Jesus. And when you do it Jesus' way, there's a restoring that he does. I know what it's like to have been walked away from Jesus for a while, been a prodigal child. And I want to tell you, when I got my heart right back with Jesus, it wasn't just a moment, but it was a process. I want to tell you, it felt so good, all getting all that weight off of my back, getting all that weight off my chest, turning all those fake smiles into real smiles, and having a real relationship with Jesus again. Not distance, but a closeness. Listen, if you have hidden sin in your life, don't fool yourself. Your relationship with God is not where it's supposed to be. And you know your prayers are bouncing off the walls like crazy because you're sending them up, but there's no power behind it. Because you want to talk about all kinds of other stuff. Jesus wanted to talk about that one thing. That one thing you don't want to talk about. It's that one thing that he sees every time he sees you. It's that one thing you're like, you're trying to hide. And he says, I see that. I see that. Hey, listen. Nobody here loves you as much as Jesus. Nobody wants you to have a more of an awesome prosperity life than Jesus. Nobody wants you to get it right more than Jesus. Nobody wants you to have more of a good time in life than Jesus. Jesus wants you to smile. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a prosperity in his way through a family. He wants you to be a blessed. He wants you to fulfill what he has planned for you. He wants you to get on his wagon because he knows exactly where it goes. And I want to tell you this. Nobody is your biggest fan. Your biggest fan is Jesus. He wants to be a hero. He's pretty good at it. He's pretty good at it. I'm going to close with this. Most of us have a superhero. Some of us like Superman. And some of us like Spider-Man because we like the cool outfits and we like the cool little giftedness that they have, little powers that they have. But you notice almost all of them have weaknesses. All of them have weaknesses. Listen, our superhero should be Jesus Christ. He's got no weaknesses. He's not hiding behind a mask. All you got to do is call out his name and he's there. Matter of fact, he's never left you. But the awesome part of it is he's put into you to do mighty things as well. But you can't do what God wants you to do when you got hidden sin in your life. So let's go ahead and stand. We'll give you that opportunity this morning if you like. And you'd want to come down and pray this morning. Maybe for you it is sin you want to take care of.